I have a proposal for you.
Are you going to get down on one knee?
I have a pitch for you.
Okay.
Yeah. I suggest that from this day forth, we take all of the goodness that we jam into an episode.
Okay, split it into eight.
And no. That would no. Let's not dilute it.
Okay.
We're going to
concentrate it. That concentrates.
No. Splitting it into eight. That splitting it does not concentrate. I don't know if you know what concentrate means. Splitting is dilution.
I'm doing it right now. I am concentrating.
I don't think you are.
Okay, sorry.
So what I'm suggesting is we take all of that goodness, maybe add 10% more,
wow,
and then jam it into a smaller, tighter package.
Huh.
Like shorter show.
Oh, yay. Yeah, let's do that.
Wow, did you hit your head?
No.
Hello and welcome to episode 562 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam. Just Adam.
In Vancouver. I'll finish it. It's fine. Just I know the
Adam.
Rest.
No, I'm Adam this time. Just Adam.
Oh, just Adam.
Yeah.
Madam, I'm Adam.
Mm-hmm.
That's a palindrome.
Or Atom.
What's your favorite palindrome?
I don't really have one, to be honest. I don't spend
a little... it must be Madam, I'm Adam. That's got to be your favorite one.
No, it's definitely not.
Step on no pets? Is that your favorite one?
No.
What about, is it Abel was I heir, here I saw Elba? Was that your favorite?
No, I like that though. Maybe that's my new favorite.
Okay, use that one.
Okay.
Apparently Napoleon said that, but there's no way he said that because he didn't speak English.
Okay. All right.
So someone's lying. Someone's lying about Napoleon and whatnot. See, I'll tell you my favorite. It's just kayak. I like to keep it simple.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Have we talked about palindromes before? I'm sure we have.
No. Super nerdy conversation. Yeah. So probably, yeah.
We've talked about palindromic numbers, though.
Yeah. Like
121.
Yeah.
Not my favorite one. Not my favorite.
Okay.
It's 14,641. I no reason to lie to you. It is. Yeah. Well, it's 11 to the power of 4.
Okay. Well, that's great.
Okay.
Okay.
There we go. And we've hit a new low.
I'm going to remember
that. I want to hear everyone else's favorite palindromic number.
641. Okay, I got it.
14,641.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
I got it.
After that, it starts collapsing. So,
okay.
Pascal's pyramid. It gets a little more complicated after that.
Okay, please don't say
it. No, I'm not going to. I disavow myself of Pascal after that.
Okay, all right.
I'm good with 111, 121, 1331, and then 14641.
Oh,
and
then
you just walk away. Walk away after that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my kids love it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Patreon, Amazon. If you want to support this nonsense, that's the best way to do it.
Sure.
On Patreon. Go to our website, twohosers.com. You'll find a link on the right-hand side. And the minimum is 2, but if you want to go palindromic, you go with an 11, I think.
Okay.
Although technically 2 is a palindrome, too. It's the same forward and backwards.
Right. Is that technically a palindrome? I don't think it is. Is
it? It's the same forward and backwards, man. Well, I don't know. Like, okay, is 1 a prime number?
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're kind of
two a prime number.
You're catching us on the technicalities.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know. I think it has to be.
Right.
A palindromic number.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Should we start again from the beginning?
Yeah.
Wow. I promise I've kissed a girl, okay?
Okay. All right.
Yeah, because usually that kind of talk, not so much.
Right.
Anyways, also Amazon. If you buy stuff on Amazon, I bought some stuff on Amazon, but click on our site until they take us down. But I bought some stuff on Amazon.
Okay.
I bought some, they're called puck lights for mounting. They're not really, nothing to do with puck. They look like pucks, though.
Right. Little circles.
little tiny little LED puck lights, which are I'm mounting underneath my upper cabinets that I'm making. And so those arrived. That's pretty cool. I'm pretty excited by that. I'm way more excited about that than I probably should be.
Mm-hmm. We have them in our under our cupboards.
Yeah. They're pretty awesome, right?
They do look cool. You don't turn them on that often though. That's what I found. They do look cool.
They're on in the box.
When you flip them on, it does go, "Oh, that's cool." And then you don't turn them on a lot after that.
Well, but you have good lighting. We don't have awesome lighting here. And then in order to actually to run lighting, it's not easy to do here.
Okay.
Because of the cement ceiling, which although maybe that's not true anymore because I just learned how to install outlets in my wall.
Yay.
Well, it's not the same as there because you guys have wood, like you could in gyprock and whatever, and you can run the cable through the wall and then have it just pop out. You can't do that here. You got to drill a giant hole in the cement and then cut a channel and then wire it and cement it back up. And it's a whole thing.
Mm-hmm. It's never coming out.
Oh, I hope not.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's my first time ever doing it, ever. But the good news is I filmed it. And once it does launch, which we're getting much, much closer to launch, by the way, of the YouTube channel. And once it launches, you'll see the experience. It's all part of the mudroom renovation episodes.
Can't wait.
Yeah, you probably can wait. Have I told you the name of it yet?
No.
Should I give a sneak peek now, or do you want to wait for that?
No, I need it now.
Well, I have the website, so no one can steal it from me, so I'm good to go.
Okay, let's hear it.
Maybe I wait until I launch, I think.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
it's
geez.
Too good, yeah.
Just, oh, it's brutal.
It's called Adam Schwartz's House of Fun.
Yes, all right, that seems
appropriate. So there might be some legal issues. I have to talk to your lawyers, okay?
Okay.
That's okay. Why. Yeah, maybe next, how about next week? I'll tease it for next week. We'll announce the name, and no one can care then, okay?
Okay.
Also, I ordered a sink, and that's coming tomorrow. So I'm not as excited. I'm oddly not as excited about the new sink as I am about the puck lights.
Interesting.
Yeah. Although I am excited about that too, because I'm looking forward to installing that in the countertop, which I haven't installed yet either.
Okay, but you have all sitting in your house.
The countertop I have not bought yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Not installed. It's just sitting there. Sorry. Misread
that. It's sitting at the store. Okay. No, I had to, again, as you'll see in the episode, I was ready to install the cabinets. I've built the cabinets. I'm ready to install those, except for then I realized I have to run the new outlet first because that's going to go in behind. So I have to cement over that, then mount the cabinets, and then the countertop. So...
Gotcha.
You have to do it in a certain order. I don't know if you knew that, Adam.
I think the guys that did it over here knew that.
They started with just put the sink out there and then built around it?
I think they knew the order is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, that's why you hire them.
Yeah.
That's the first question you ask a potential contractor is like, hey, do you know the order of things? And if they don't, man, just walk.
Get another one, yeah.
Yeah, get another one. So anyway, that was Amazon. There's probably some other stuff, but who cares at this point?
Right.
What's going on in Vancouver, Adam?
I don't know. Same old, same old. Just another day. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's getting dark earlier.
Yeah, I noticed that, actually.
So there's that. Yeah, that's about all that I've noticed that's new and fresh. Jack had a cold this week, so he stayed home pretty much for the better part of a week, so...
That's weird, right?
And he gets the same cold every year, almost exactly the same time last year he got it. And of course, you know, different day and age. So we got him tested and he was fine.
How do you do that? Like, you have to go in? How does that work there?
They have testing places. So there's places like kind of walk-in test sites. So, So my wife took him to... place close to the airport. They had a testing site. She said when she took them that like there was nobody in there. You just walk right in and then have your test. So
is this like a quick test or a PCR test?
You'd have to ask her. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure it was the PCR test, but I can't verify
that. Did you get results 8 minutes later or the next day?
He got results the next day.
Okay, that's going to be a PCR then.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll bring some fast tests for you.
I don't think they do a lot of the fast tests here, but anyway, so he did. Yeah, and I think that our bar for coming back into Canada too, like, I think you can correct me if I'm wrong, because maybe you know some of this, trying to plan trips, but if you go out of Canada, I believe you, depending on the country you're going to, they might require a particular test. And then when you come back in, though, it is the PCR test. Like, you are required to have that test, from what I understand.
They've actually agreed to let me do a palindrome test.
Nice.
Yeah. So if I get that right, then like, yeah, come on. Yeah.
He uses like six words. Six words. You have to come up with six.
Yeah, that's how that goes. Yeah, no, I need to get a PCR to go to Canada, and also have the proof of vaccination. They require that.
Yeah.
And then on the way back, they don't care. Actually, I think I just have to show maybe vaccination. I don't know what I have to do here. We'll deal with that when I get back. I have no clue.
But anyways, he missed a week's worth of stuff, and just like clockwork. So there you go. We've had a pretty low key week, which meant, because he wasn't well, like, we didn't go to any hockey. We haven't done any of the things that normally we would have done, extracurricular things. We have not done this week.
But he sprained his thumbs playing video games for a week.
Probably. No, I think his thumbs are well trained. Like, they're yeah. So as it is, that's all that's been going on. We haven't been doing much around here.
All right. Getting prepped for Halloween, though. That's coming up, right?
Yeah, hasn't been a lot of Halloween talk around here, I'm sure. I don't know that Sarah, now being in high school, I don't know if she's really gonna do it, but Jack will. He hasn't said anything really about what he's gonna go as, but yeah. I do notice that it happens earlier and earlier, this the Halloween decorating, though, because now a couple of our neighbors already are decorated for Halloween.
Yeah. This is a topic we probably, I mean, that and obviously Christmas, because I noticed in August, now, you know, August is in the summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
They started selling the Christmas cookies in the stores here in August.
Advent calendar's here already, but it's October, Advent calendar's in the...
Now, August is early, and especially because, like, the last 2 years, I have not bought the speculatius. I brought them for you before, I believe. They're like that German gingerbread kind
of,
and I no longer buy them because, I can't stop eating them.
Mm.
Once you start, you can't stop. It stings.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I was a couple of years ago where I put on a couple of extra LBs that December and thought, okay, you gotta knock this off, dude. So, but August, that's too early.
Yeah. Got to be like a November 1st kind of start date.
Would be nice. Yeah. Would be nice. So there's that. All right. Yeah. So I'm working on all my renovation skills. It's not just that. I'm learning all kinds of new things. That's been my week. So pretty interesting stuff. So we'll skip over that.
Cool.
Reminder, monthly challenge for this month is change. Oh, wow. It's right in. If you lose the middle of challenge, it becomes change.
That's interesting.
The LLE. I never even thought of that till just now.
Wow.
It's Eureka. I have found it. Like, that is that's a big moment. Okay. Great. Anyways, change. You can put those on Instagram, hashtag them #TwoHosersMonthlyChallenge, #HeyHosers, even better, do both, and tag us @TwoHosers. And we will check that out at the end, around Halloween, actually, turns out.
Great.
Approximately. So there's that. All righty. I did see something. I was going to ask you off the air because it might not be interesting. Did you see? I didn't get Scott's joke. He tagged us on his he sent us a message that you responded to about his photo, his squash photos. But then he said something about he posted one about the shoes or something.
Oh, I don't think I saw that.
Okay, I didn't get it. Did you make a shoes joke to him?
I don't think so. On last week? No, I don't think so, but you never know. I say stuff, yeah.
Well, when you listen back to the episode the second time,
yeah, did you not just remember it? Yeah, I should have done that. I think.
Okay. Well, I honestly, little fun fact. Neither Adam nor I actually listen to our show,
even when we're
talking. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's what. Definitely. Yeah.
So I don't listen back. I do hear the beginning because I have to sync it up, and then I hear the very end because I have to add the end music. But that's about it. In the middle, I just kind of make sure it, you know, is there. I see the waveform. So if we made a joke about the shoes, well played. If we didn't, pretty confusing to me. Yeah. So
okay.
There's that.
All right.
Okay. Did you shoot anything? Well, you said you didn't shoot. You said you didn't shoot anything interesting, and yet you put a bunch of pictures in there.
Oh yeah, I didn't. Did I say I didn't shoot anything interesting? I said nothing's going on here.
Well, yeah, but you said you stayed home and watched your son blow his nose for a week.
Yeah. No. On Sunday.
I got together. Dome.
Yeah, I got together with one of the ladies that I work with, and her husband had acquired this, you know, classic car, and she'd been talking about it over the course of the summer that, you know, it was getting worked on, restored. Like, this was a newly acquired vehicle, and it spent a long time over the summer where he was anticipating getting it back, and for one little glitch or another, getting parts, blah, blah, blah. It just ended up taking a lot longer than they expected. So they just got it back, and I had kind of made the offer that, well, when the car's ready, like, you know, I'd love to kind of meet up, you know, in an evening, nice light, and take some photos with you guys with the car, something that you can have. So I kind of had thrown that out there, and then they got the car back, and she said, oh, what time would work? And so we figured out a time, and we went just kind of down by, you've been to this place before. So they have
a car there.
Yeah. It was a Porsche or something of your
friend. It was a Boxster. So it was a Volkswagen, but yeah.
Yeah. So we, and I kind of remembered, oh, there's a good spot where there's like a little pullout, you know, shady island kind of across the water. You know, there's a pretty kind of non-distracting background. Yeah. So I thought, let's go over there, 'cause that's really close to the clinic. And a kind of a central meeting point for both of us. So we thought, all right, let's do that. So I think it's a 74 Gran Torino. Mm-hmm. It's a Gran Torino Sport, but I think it's a 1974, if I remember correctly.
I'm not super familiar with the Gran Torinos, but that does look like a 70s car.
Yeah, it definitely. When I saw it right away, I'm like, that's from the 70s, right? And yeah. She said, yeah, and I think it's 74, but... Anyways, I don't think
the front looks like, I think my dad had a Chevy, like a 19, I think it was a 19, I'm going to say 70 Super Sport.
Okay.
And the front looks similar to that, like not exactly the same, but like a sort of similar thing. But then in the later 70s, mid 70s, they decided to flare the backs out like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, we met up there. Now it's sunset is like, I don't know, 6:40 or something. So I said, oh, let's meet around 6 and we'll get the last kind of good light. And so that's what we did. And I took some, I had both cameras. I thought I was going to bring the 6D. I didn't want to have to change lenses with, you know, dust and stuff. I wanted to bring the new camera to take some shots, but I didn't want to have to change lenses out there. So I stuck the 50 mil on the new camera. And then I stuck a wide angle, the 17 to 40 on the 6D, because I wanted like some kind of wacky kind of perspective shots, just because, again, old big car, I thought, oh, this will look cool with the wide angle up close. So anyway, so I bought both lenses and I took a few of each. I did throw a couple of lights up in a couple of umbrellas for the people shots, just to kind of make them pop a little bit. I kind of put the lights in the same direction the sun was coming, but because there was a bunch of clouds, the sun was kind of like, they weren't going to pop from the sun that was available. So that's what I did. So I just tried to make it look like the light that was coming from there anyways. And so you can see there's a few shots in there. The one that says couple, the Gran Torino couple, you could tell, I mean, a little bit, I think that, you know, it could be just time of day, but it's a little bit there's a little bit peppier, I think, because of the light, but nothing that screams, oh, you lit this either. Like,
Did you put a little CTO on that, or did you just balance for it?
I just balanced for it. Yeah, I didn't. I thought about the CTO, but then I wanted to use two lights to make sure I got coverage because there still was bright enough out, and I didn't want to put two different color temperature gels. So I just in the interest of doing this a little quicker and not, you know, they came, they had their dog there. I knew we didn't have a ton of time to do this, so I wanted to work quickly. So anyways, I didn't play around with the gels. I just set them up and sort of forget about it, made them come from the direction that the sun was coming from. So there's that shot. You see just a general people shot. There's a black and white that I've included in there of just the husband, which kind of to me screamed 70s. So that's why I went black and white. Just they dressed kind of period appropriate, I think. And and I had asked them to, I'm like, oh, like wear something that's sort of kind of a bit vintage, just cause I don't know. I thought that would be cool. And so they did. So the black and white, I really like that photo could have been taken anytime. Like
both these photos, he looks like if Kevin Spacey wasn't creepy.
Sure. Yeah. You know what? That's a good call. I knew it was someone. I didn't play Spacey, but now that you say that, I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good call.
If he wasn't creepy, is the non-creepy Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. I don't feel he's creepy at all, but yes,
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey is very creepy. And then I just included a couple of car shots. You can see the one I really like is the perspective shot that just says wide angle. So that was with the 17-40, like right up close, and then shot on the wide end of the spectrum. And it just kind of really blows that front end into kind of like, you know, the stratosphere. Like it just looks so.
Did you like this?
That one, I can't remember. Maybe. I mean, I don't recall. I did some with light and some without, so it may have some extra light in it, but the light
was. The reason I ask is the 17-40 does not get enough credit for how awesome the skies look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I it sounds weird. I mean, different lenses behave in different, you know, slightly different ways. I've never been disappointed with the skies. Like they've always does a great job of rendering those colors and that contrast for whatever reason.
Sure. Yeah. And I think this is a good example. And I just love how shiny the car is. And so you keep getting the reflection of the sky in the car, which just looks cool. Yeah. Like it just looks cool. Indeed. And then, I showed one of my friend as the driver. So my colleague as the driver, and I tried to include the little Gran Torino Sport in the bottom corner. So just another kind of just angle. Just I don't shoot car people shots. This isn't something that I do ever. And so I kind of thought, like, I don't know, what do people do here? Like to include the car as a prop, but really make it about the people and the car. So again, just try. These are just examples of different things I tried. I'm sure there's a lot of other ideas out there. Some of them are probably better, but I did this in half an hour. So I showed up at 6, nothing set up, and wrapped up at 6:30. And I probably have
hold on. Let me do the math on that. Hang on.
Yeah, see if you got it.
Yep, half an hour.
Is it a palindrome? Is it
no? I just had to carry the 3. Yeah, it's 30 minutes.
Yeah, so it's 30 minutes, and I probably delivered to them, I don't know, 30 good images. Might have even been more because I just kept snapping. That's the thing. I had two cameras already prepped and ready to go. I had good light. I had a good subject, a nice background, and I just basically changing angles is all I did. So it's really just a matter of how many ideas do I have and how good is the patience of my subject. So I knew, I'm like, I don't think they do this. Well, they told me they never do this and take photos and do this. So I thought in my head, I think 30 minutes, whatever I get will be a good amount of time. And I knew at 30 minutes that I probably could do some other things, but I also knew that I had plenty of photos and there a lot of them were going to end up being pretty similar. And it was sort of a season to taste situation. Like in the couple shot, I've got the wheels turned from that angle to see the chrome. In the wide angle shot, I've got the wheel in the front wheel turned the other way versus in. Like I just was playing around to see what I like. Cause normally I think, oh, I want to see the chrome. Like in the couple shot, I like it turned that way. But then I have other shots where I don't like it when I see that wheel turned in. So yeah, I don't know that there's a rule for car photography. Maybe you do, in terms of which way the wheels go or what looks good. But I did like the wide angle with the front wheel, because the bumper is all chrome and the front end is so much chrome that I liked the wheel on the wide angle one because it's a lower perspective. I liked it turned away so that it's less about the wheel and more about just that crazy front end of that vehicle.
Indeed. You know, maybe we should do, maybe you and I should look into this and then actually do a show on car photography.
And how to shoot. Yeah, people probably are good at it.
Yeah, they probably are. I've been in that situation. I've had to shoot video of cars, like not even cars moving, but just like for the documentary stuff I've had to work on, the Corolla stuff there. Like I had to go shoot like B-roll footage of still like of not moving cars and no people in them and make it interesting.
Right.
Yeah, it's boring me telling you about it. Imagine doing it. Like, okay, I'm gonna do a rack focus from the gear shift to the steering wheel. Like, look for that in 24-hour war. That's probably in there somewhere. I know some of it did make it in because like the director when he's helping, you know, the editor's putting it together. You just need something. Like, you need to cut away to something, and so you know it's like, oh, there's the headlights.
Right.
24 frames per second. There you go. So it's hard to do. I'm not saying I did a good job. I shot more garbage than gold. Ooh, write that down. Yeah, we'll look into that. And then we'll play that song Drive by the Cars over the whole episode.
Sure. That sounds fantastic. Just on repeat, because we'll need to play it like 26 times.
At least.
Yeah.
So when I post these, I'm going to tag Clint Eastwood, of course, in these.
Sure, yeah.
Because Unforgiven, it's good.
Right.
Yeah. Well, no, you can't argue. That is a good movie. Like Gene Hackman's excellent in that.
I do like Unforgiven. One of my
all right
childhood favorites.
It is good. It's a good one. So all right. My interesting stuff. Oh, I shot some soccer. There's my son playing soccer.
Okay.
There's one of him like dribbling, which I like because he's looking athletic and in motion there.
Sure.
I actually haven't gone through. I shot like a few hundred photos and I haven't gone through them all, so I won't bore you with that part.
Okay.
And then there's one of my son that I shared with you because he scored a beauty goal. Just an absolute. Just came in over the midfield mark, which is, it's a smaller field than it's not a, like a regulation field, but it's a bigger field this year because he's moved up in age. So he's seven, whatever that means in soccer. Okay. So he just dribbled up just over the midfield and let her rip and went full on bar down, like just crossbar in the net, kaboom.
Nice.
And so I snapped a photo of it while it was happening and I missed the focus.
I mean,
I blame the camera, of course.
Right.
But I thought you'd appreciate that because you're not missing any focus anymore with the new camera.
No, I haven't missed focus. Again, haven't taken a lot of photos with it, being that we didn't do anything this week. But so far, stationary subjects like the photo shoot with the car did not miss any focus.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure you won't miss with the other one too, but that's why I included it, because it didn't really matter. It wasn't like, oh, you can tell he's going bar. He could just be kicking himself in the face with the ball here. You don't know. It didn't really matter that it was out of focus, but I thought, oh yeah, there you go. That's you miss every now and then. Most of them were in focus, but this one just, I guess it must have picked up the kid behind him's hand. You can see sort of in, like by the ball there.
It must
have focused there or something like that, so... That happens. And then another story, just a quick one I wanted to tell you about. So after my buddy's wedding like a month and a half ago, I just decided I was gonna knock off the beer.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It was in the paper. It was like, oh yeah, my God, Alan.
Big news.
Like the economy took a hit here, the beer economy. And so I did. And so whatever it worked out to, I forget what it was. It was like 34 days or something like that in a row too.
Mm-hmm.
And no beer. And then my buddy, you can see my buddy came to town. And that's my buddy from, he's from Vancouver, working in Germany, moved back to Vancouver. Now he's back and forth. That's the short story, the short version. He's back and forth from Vancouver to now France, but he was in town for a couple of days. So I said, you know, great. I'll break the streak. We'll have a couple beers. So we went into town. This is just I handed some girl my phone, and she snapped a photo of us in the old town having a couple of Hefeweizens in the sunshine.
Nice. Yeah. Shorts and all.
Oh yeah. It was a couple of days ago. It was excellent, excellent weather. Like just all of a sudden summer in would have been October. Yeah. And so that's not the part of the story that's weird though.
Okay.
So I had a couple of beers that while he was here for 2 days, did not enjoy it.
Oh no.
Didn't go nuts or nothing like that. Just had a couple of beers and was like, meh. Guess I'm back to just not having beers. So what happened? It's am I done?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. I did not see that coming.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right.
Okay. Well, any doctors out there who can figure out why I'm no longer on the beer, like I got to get started up again. Like, how do I get started? Like when I wanted to start smoking, I used the patch to get going, but it's tough to do here.
Right. Yeah.
Rattlers? A couple Rattlers maybe?
Maybe. Just all go right into the scotch.
Okay. That'll do it. Yeah. All right. That's all the interesting shooting that we did. Challenge this week. You said low light, so I said yes. How low can you go?
Right.
Let's do mine first this week. We always do yours first. Let's do mine.
Okay.
I was thinking, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to get an action shot in low light using the face tracking feature in the 5D Mark III, which doesn't exist, so there's that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do a direct comparison to whatever it is that you are going to shoot. And I had high hopes. I believe here's what I want to do. I want to do a side-by-side of here's the old crappy technology from 15 minutes ago versus the space age technology that Adam possesses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And let's compare it. Let's see where that money goes.
Right.
So here's my daughter on her bike going to school in the morning in low light, very low light.
Okay.
ISO 3200. Now, I wanted to best replicate what I thought you were going to do. And you bought the 24-105 lens for kit lens for your camera, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I put the 24. I would never shoot this with the 24-105. This would be an 85 mil for sure. Because I can go to f1.8, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to put the 24-105 on there. It has the lens stabilization, not the in body, not the IBIS, but it's the best equivalent I can do. And this is what came out of that shot.
What's the shutter speed?
11. I don't actually know. I think it's 1/20th. I honestly don't have it in front of me. While this loads up, I will have a look. Because I'm actually curious myself now as well.
Okay. So it's
1/20th. 1/20th of a second.
So why didn't you not bump the ISO more to get a faster shutter speed?
Oh, we were up against it at 3200 ISO. How much higher do you go on your 6D? Do you ever really shoot above 3200?
Oh, I shoot it for a hockey rink. I'll shoot at 6,000, 8,000, yeah.
Okay, so I guess I have some self-respect, but it's
the really I should stop at 3200 for hockey with the 6D, but the problem is that it's just moving too fast. So
it is.
Yeah, so you have to. I mean, you have to sacrifice the digital noise for the fact that you want to get an image that's not completely blurry. So and every now and again you get like enough light in that shot that it's salvageable. And, you know, if you don't blow it up the size of your computer screen, it's perfectly fine. And in fact, most people are thrilled with the images because it's more about the action and not necessarily about, you know, the digital noise. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm fine with doing that. But that was, again, one of the shortcomings of that camera was that it's just it would be way better at 3200. The 6D is actually quite good.
It's reasonable. Yes, the Mark III is fine. Like it depends too. I mean, actually, we should do an episode completely on low light. How to get, you know, another time. But point is, I don't generally go above 3,200. I barely go to 3,200 because even though it's acceptable, it's not my favorite. And then I end up doing a little bit of noise reduction in Lightroom, which does a decent job. But even if I double it to 6,400th of ISO 6,400, that's going to get me to 1/40th of a second, which isn't going to do anything for
the blur. It's not enough. Yeah, it's not enough.
No, because most of the blur, in fact, I think almost all of the blur is created from her riding her bike towards the camera versus motion blur, which is, I do have it on a burst mode. So this is probably the second or third shot in the sequence. So it's with the image stabilization, there's probably, I wouldn't say it's tack sharp, but it's acceptable sharp in terms of camera movement.
Okay.
But most of the blur is just, it's just that you just can't stop her with her riding her bike. Now, I don't care for this image. I don't really care. It's fine for what it is. I don't care either way. If I had never taken this photo, I wouldn't be crying about it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I did snap one. I did make her stop her bike, and I took a more traditional portrait in the exact same light, a little bit of a street light coming. Like, it's actually not very bright at all. Looks much brighter in this image than it is in real life. But I snapped a portrait, which I thought was really cool because of the orange and the blue, like the actual blue lighting that existed, and then the slight orange coming from the street light. That's not me. I didn't like that. That was out in nature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I like that. So the same thing there. That's at ISO 3200, 1/20th of a second, fired off three shots with the burst mode to get one that was reasonably sharp. And it actually is, this is not a terrible photo.
No, it's yeah. Fine. It's perfectly acceptable. Yeah. In terms of sharpness, like it's a good photo.
Yeah. So now let's compare it to Adam's new camera.
Yeah, I did. Like I said, Jack threw a wrench into my plans. I teed this up, this photo challenge, so I could shoot hockey in the rink where I was going to be able to compare. And then there was, we did not go to hockey at all this week. So I will try this again this weekend because we're supposed to have some games this weekend and he's better now. So hopefully it will happen this weekend and barring another unforeseen change. But I just last night did one of the, I don't have a low light shot. And what am I going to do? It's 10 o'clock and I don't have anything. And we record this first thing in the morning for me. So I put the Fuji camera down on the table, turned the lights off and shot this, with the 50 mil at ISO, I think it's 5,000. I just kind of went, I don't know how much, like the highest I'm probably going to try to shoot, because just based on reading and where they say really the best noise is still in terms of good images is about 6,400 on this camera. So I said, I just want to see what 5,000 looks like. So I just put the Fuji down on the table, threw up a little black sheet so that it just all the light dropped away and behind, and then I just shot this with the lights off. And so I don't know that it says anything because it's, I mean, there is a little bit of noise. It's very acceptable, but it's also not a moving target. So somebody threw this camera at me and then we could have seen really what this camera can do. So I just had to satisfy the challenge, and I didn't do what I was hoping to do, so I apologize. But the photo looks fine as far as like noise and sharpness. So this is at ISO 5000, 1/50th of a second, and I think an f/5.6. And
that's what it says.
But I also don't know, just based on your image, I'm like, I don't know that it would be much better than the 6D in this situation. Like, I bet you the 6D looks
probably not
pretty close. Like I could get a very acceptable image with the 6D in this situation, right? So
in this situation for sure, I think you would. So
I
think the biggest challenge for this week's challenge is me picking out a frame that is going to be good enough for this photo.
Do you like the
and
little?
And also, where to hang it?
Do you like the little earrings of the camera? It's like, it's got red earrings because that's where the. I have this strap that basically it comes with a few of these extra tabs, and so then I can just like in 2 seconds switch the camera strap from one camera to the other. Oh, and in all honesty, it's a Peak Design strap that I've had for a while that I quite like. It usually sits on this Fuji, but since getting the new camera, I've transferred it over to the new camera because it's super light and it's very sturdy. and I could just switch back and forth between the Fuji, and I left the strap that I had on the 6D just as the 6D strap.
All right.
Yeah, because the new camera is pretty light.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Good stuff to know. We said we'd jam this into a tighter episode, and now we've gone long. But I want to find out. The topic is your new camera.
You don't want to know.
Too late. We're down this path. People want to know. We got an email from Joe. Joe had a question like a couple of years ago. Hey, what would it take for you to update the 6D? And you just said nothing. I'm never going to do it. Never, ever, ever.
Yeah.
And he wants to know what changed. But I also, so let's set the table a little bit. I had zero idea this was coming. Okay. It wasn't like you and I have talked offline ever about anything, but about this, where it's like, oh yeah, I'm thinking about a new camera. What about this? I got a text one day, like a week and a half ago, from you. Hey, I'm thinking about buying the R6. Talk me out of it. Essentially, that's the short version.
Sure.
Right. And I was like, okay, I can't really. Like, I was like, because it was, I was like, wow, that came out of nowhere. And I was like, okay, well, all I can, so my I think my answer was like, the only negatives I've heard about it, besides the price tag, but if that's what it is, that's what it is I've heard most people actually like the lens adapters. A couple of whiners didn't. I personally, without having ever shot with it, my whole thing was, I think my answer to you was like, I'd have no experience with it, so I can't really say. I don't like adding variables typically, but that doesn't mean it's not good. So I don't know. I have no reason to not recommend this camera to you.
Right. Yeah.
So, but then like 45 minutes later, you had a new R6 in your hand. So what led to this decision? Take us down the path. Well, how did this start?
It was mostly wanting to have better ability to shoot like something like hockey and lower light. Like it just, that's a big limitation. Of
better ability how?
Well, just because the noise, once you get to an ISO of like over, you know, 3200, it just really, really drops off a cliff. And so I was looking at, you know, stuff online about, okay, how much different are these new cameras? And the answer was like, a big difference. Like, so I can shoot right. safely to ISO 6400. And, you know, I was looking at images online and comparisons. And so like, I'm like, okay, so it does that. The next step was, all right, this, the 6D is a really good camera. It's also now for me, 8 years old. And so 8 years of wear, it does
more than that.
I think it's 2013 I got it. I think it was 2013.
Okay. But
I tried to look back and I was trying to find my receipt, but I'm pretty sure it was 2013 or because I got it pretty close to when it came out, within 6 months, I think. But anyways, so there's that. And the fact that it's just old, which is on its own not a big deal, except for now I definitely notice like I miss more. So I don't know if it's a part of the focus. Like if I focus on someone's eye, even in a portrait, and take five portraits, at least one, sometimes two of those, like the eye won't be tack sharp. It'll be just slightly off. So the
right.
the focusing system, something has changed. And I've never dropped it or anything like that, but it's not perfect. And then on moving subjects, that focusing system. So again, for something like hockey or baseball, the miss rate is higher. So that's been something that I've dealt with for a while, but I've just kind of gotten used to, because again, this was a great camera at that time, but the autofocus is one of the knocks. It only has one cross type sensor, like the really accurate kind of sensor target point, and that's only the center point. That's the only one on the entire camera that you can really shoot and expect that you're going to get it in focus more consistently. So that's
just to back up. Just to back up to my photo of my daughter on the bike. I shot that. I anticipated you doing hockey stuff as well for that. But I did the what do you call it? AI servo, the tracking, focus tracking, and that was basically the only good. Relatively in focus shot. The rest of them, it had missed. Like it was just so low light. It did a horrible job focusing, which is not something I typically do, but that's where I figured the R6 is really going to shine.
Yes, and from everything that I've watched on videos and read on different camera kind of websites, because I've read a fair amount now and watched videos and tutorials, and just everything is really geared towards how great this autofocus system is. And that's a shortcoming of the 6D for sure. It's fine. And if you're just shooting portraits and focus and recompose and using the center point, then you're going to get focus most of the time, especially if you have a steady hand and you just get used to the nuances of using the 6D. Again, all things that I was fine with, but this new technology and the abilities it has in autofocus are mind-blowing. Like it's like it's going from Little League to the World Series. Like it's crazy how much better it is at everything relating to focus. So that was another one of the reasons. So the low light capabilities, the autofocus capabilities, again, because I like shooting sports. I like to track focus. And so now this thing has like, I don't know how many points. I think it's in the thousands of little points that you could use anywhere mm-hmm. on there to track focus that are as accurate as the one point that the 6D has. So the 6D was never meant to be an action camera, like to shoot sports, no. Not your camera. It's frame rates.
What's
not fast
the frame
enough.
Rates? Like five?
The frame rates on this are 12 for the mechanical.
No, on the 6D.
Yeah, I think it's five or six maybe. So this one's twice as fast with a mechanical shutter. And then it has this electronic shutter, which I'm not using, but it will do 20 frames. But it does, I don't know exactly how the electronic shutter itself works. But again, not something that I plan on using, but there is a version where you can take 20 frames a second. So again, don't need that. Not my thing. 12 frames a second is way more than I need to shoot hockey or baseball. And for it to be accurate is just an absolute kind of like bonus, right? Like to be consistently accurate. So the autofocus was the big one. The age of the camera was another one. And then I thought I wanted to kind of move in the direction that the technology is going. And so Canon's kind of made these announcements. They're not going in the 5D directions. They're going in these mirrorless directions. So I don't even think, I think I read on different Canon sites that there won't even be a 5D5. Like they're done with that
right.
kind of camera. So I thought, okay, well, where is it going to head? If I'm going to buy a new camera, I want these capabilities and I want it to be kind of future proof. And so these new RF lenses, this will do both because I don't want to start from scratch and buy everything new. So this kind of fit all of ticked all the boxes. And yeah, so far, I mean, again, I haven't used it a lot because the things I planned to shoot just didn't happen this week, but it is amazing. There's a touch screen on the you know, the flippable tiltable LCD, so it's all touch screen. And why that's great is that you can be looking through the viewfinder and then you can set part of the screen, like I have it set to kind of the right half of the screen, so your eyes up at the viewfinder, you're looking through, composing your image, and you, like an iPad, can slide your right thumb around and target focus with your thumb, like, which is insanely wow. good. Like, so you can just set it to track someone's eyes. So if you're shooting a portrait, I can just hold the eye focus part. It locks on their eyes. Now I can move around and the focus, just as long as I'm holding that focus and I've locked on their eyes, no matter where I go with the camera, their eyes still are locked in focus. Like, it's amazing. And so all those photos, like just in terms of the speed of working, you don't have to keep kind of locking on your target, recomposing. No, you just walk around and you just hold the lock on that, on those eyes, and you can do whatever you want. So workflow speed is great, but that little ability to just touch screen it and move around the focus point whenever you want while you're already in a natural shooting position is amazing. And because it has mm-hmm. the electronic viewfinder, you're looking at everything in real time versus the optical viewfinder. And I know some people say like, oh, I'm used to shooting on an SLR and I don't like the electronic viewfinder. I think because of using the Fuji, maybe I'm just more used to it. And I love the electronic viewfinder now that I have it. It's amazing. Like, it is absolutely, like, to me, way better than using the optical viewfinder. So I'm already...
What you see is what you get. It's a big deal. Like, when I got the Fuji, I thought, well, I'm going to split my time between the rangefinder and the EVF. I do not split my time. I'm 100% EVF.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
No, that's not true. I'm 99.9% EVF.
Yeah.
There's a few times where it's like, okay, it's better to shoot with that, but it's rare.
And then rather than chimp on the LCD, like it's just so much nicer through the EVF, like to actually, because then you don't have to worry about the light in your environment, like just to look at the image through the EVF and you can see all kinds of detail that you can't look at, especially out in the sunshine at your LCD. So you miss things or you pick up on things. So no, it's all around awesome. So some of the things like the ability to touchscreen that LCD, I didn't even know that that was a thing. I knew maybe you could touch for menus or whatnot, but to have control over the autofocus points while you're looking through the view, oh, it's outstanding. So Canon really thought some of this stuff through. I don't know if that's a feature on other cameras. I don't know if they came up with that, but good on you, Canon. That is one of the best features that I could imagine in a camera. I love it. And it's intuitive. It's not like I had to learn anything. It's like the first time I used it, I said, wow, this is awesome. Like, I love this. And it's so quick to use.
Nice. Okay. So now the question is, you know, shooting video with it, how you like that?
Well, I haven't really done it. I plan on when I go to the hockey games this weekend of taking a few video clips and using some of the focus tracking for that, because that's not a thing for the 60. It just doesn't do that.
So this, and I'm
sure it's meant more for the new RF lenses than it is the EF. So I plan, like, I know it'll track, but I'm sure the accuracy and the speed and even the image stabilization, they say that like it's got six axes of image stabilization, something like that for the RF lenses. And I think maybe two for the older EF lenses, which I don't know what that means, but it sounds better to have more.
Some is good, more is better.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyways, I plan on trying it with the 24 to 105, just because also for hockey, standing at the glass, like that's a good range. I don't need the 70 to 200 for hockey to do just kind of like a little bit of gameplay stuff. So I'm interested just to see what that looks like. And then maybe I will take a little bit with a longer lens and compare. So I do, I'm interested, but that's not, I don't do a ton of videos, so that's not a big deal for me. But I do think that there's cases here where I will love just not having to shoot it on my phone and having the ability to use the wicked technology and then keep everything in focus, especially with moving subjects.
See, it is a big deal for me, the video part. Like, I'm like very excited by it. Like it that was the appeal for me. Like I love, you know, I don't need a new camera for stills. I'd like one, obviously, but in terms of shooting video with DSLR, when they first came out, the DSLRs, like the 5D Mark II that could shoot video, it was an absolute game changer. Like you, there's no way you could know, because you didn't shoot digital video. Why would you? Before that, like shooting actual digital video with like a Canon XL1 or Sony VX1000, Google it. It was cool, but there was really something missing. And DSLR video changed that. That was an oh my God moment. However, it is an absolute pain to shoot.
Right.
Like they've made leaps and bounds. Like if you want to get, you know, one of the fancier cameras, the C, what is it, C100, C300? I forget all the numbers now. The C lenses, the cinema cameras, like those change everything. But they're expensive and whatnot. So the idea of having a mirrorless DSLR, but mirrorless. So having a mirrorless camera like the R6, being able to flip back and forth to shooting video without having to get the mirror out of the way and actually looking through the viewfinder and have it be very usable for video is hugely appealing to me.
Okay.
So we're going to have to see it. I'm not saying there's one in my future, but
well, when you
if there is,
come to Vancouver, you can give it a little test drive and see the video.
But here's the thing: is I might have to give it a 2-day test drive, so that'll be on you. If it's either that or I buy one, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Oh no!
So when I do get there, we'll talk. We'll talk off the air. But I might just have to buy one. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm gonna have to ask my client for more money this year.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah. Hey, what? Hey, why don't you buy me a new camera, and then we'll talk.
And we'll do that's this. We'll do. Yeah. Yeah. That's and to address the adapter piece, the last thing is that it's neither here nor there. Like it just works. I got the one where you have a control ring on it, which you don't need to. There's a cheaper one, which is just the adapter. And then there's one with a control ring, which basically allows you, because all the RF lenses, they have a control ring on them, which allows you to program it to whatever function you want. So I have it set to change the aperture. So you can just on the ring, you can dial in the aperture. So I bought the adapter that comes with the control ring, which was, you know, a little more expensive, not crazy, but I think it was an extra $75 or $100 more expensive, just so that they would all feel the same, right? So that the that you'd have, that you wouldn't be going back and forth and be like, oh, where's my aperture? I just thought, all right, I like to be able to move lenses, and I know that eventually the next lens I buy will be another RF lens. And again, that's not happening anytime soon, but when I do buy it, it will
be. You don't know that. You might end up picking up, because I would imagine this would open up a pretty big market for used EF lenses.
True. Yeah, I think that will be the case. Although I love everything I have. Like, I don't know if I...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and everything, as far as what I've tried so far, it just, like, with the EF lenses, they just do everything. Again, video would be the exception, but for stills, like, it works perfectly. The focus and the tracking and everything just works perfectly. I saw zero issues with it. And the added control ring, it just has the same feel where I can, you know, just dial in the aperture on that ring. I've kind of mapped everything. We talked about customization. I've mapped everything to the menu the way I like it. And yeah, just, I have two focus buttons, one for the regular autofocus and one for the eye tracking. I have everything set to servo. And this was a recommendation of the pro that I was watching the video, because it just tracks focus. And so if you have it locked on the eyes and you're just tracking focus, you know, when you move, it just tracks, versus one shot, you might have to keep resetting it. I'm so used to shooting stills with one shot. And the that's because the servo, you know, it was good in the 60. It wasn't perfect. And so using servo for stills is a little bit more risky versus this is not. So I have not turned it on to one shot yet. Everything has been servo, and the servo is amazing. Yeah.
So your days of back button focus are essentially gone.
No, it's all back, like, button. It's just two different
back buttons. No, but in the traditional sense of how you were doing it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The days of just pure focus and recompose aren't necessary. You don't have to keep doing that over and over again, just refocusing. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. And the other news that everyone should know, to me, the best news is batteries from your 6D work.
Yeah. So now I've got three, because I had two 6D batteries, and then I got the camera comes with the new battery, same exact charger. So I have now two of the chargers. And the new battery is longer life, a better version of that other battery.
Right.
But the other ones work perfectly fine. So it's nice to now have three batteries, and to be able to, if I take both cameras like I did on this car shoot, just to have one battery at each camera and a spare for what if something were to die. So it's a great little setup. That those batteries are, I don't know, $70-$80 a pop, maybe more. So that's a nice savings to not have to buy new batteries. And those batteries from the 60 from 2013 or whenever I bought that camera, they still work great. So the fall off on those batteries has been tremendous. So no need to buy more batteries.
Well, get out and shoot and show some pictures.
I know. Yeah. And then I can give you my review, my bigger review. And so far though, I really can say that I'm happy, and I'm glad I made the purchase.
Awesome. Okay. Well, monthly challenge for next month is change, which Adam's just changed to a much better camera. So maybe that'll be it. Maybe you'll get another camera shot, Adam.
Okay. Yeah. You never know.
That'll be exciting for everybody.
Yeah.
with the X100 of your new camera. Oh man, everyone's on pins and needles.
Yeah. And then it'll be the 6D with the Fuji. Yeah.
All right. Like, don't toy with us. Okay. You have to deliver now. Hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers on the Instagram. And we'll talk about that just after Halloween. Challenge for next week. So you bought the 24-105 for the kit lens, right?
Yeah.
Okay, challenge for next week is 105 mils. That's the challenge.
105.
Boom. You can do that.
Great. I can do that next week. 105.
All right. You're still not websiting it. So where can people find your stuff?
Nowhere. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe stuff somewhere. Instagram, I don't know. Google me, I don't know.
Post something on Instagram, Adam Two Hosers, this week. That's not even comments.
at the 105 end of that lens, it's like an F7. So that'll really push the envelope if I try to shoot hockey. There you go.
There you go. Mine's F4, so.
Yeah, you're better.
1-0. 1-0 at Ridge. So there's that. All right. My stuff, alanatridge.com. The two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.